Our Father, we come into your presence again, thanking you for our Savior, and ask that you bless this time in the Word of God this day. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, it's good to be with you. Here we are in the middle of the week. We're in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and out of the three books that we're studying together, 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, we're almost done with the second of these three books. We're in chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, and now we're going to be picking up today in verse 6, and a unique passage, verse 6 to 8, and we're going to look primarily at the first couple of verses. Reading with me, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." So what we have before us here is the parting words, if you will, of Paul. Notice here in verse 6, "For I am now ready." Not that he's getting ready. He says, "I am now ready." And it says to be offered. Well, this word could be, these words could be rendered "already being poured out." "For I am now already being poured out." You might say, what does that phrase mean? We think of 2 Samuel 23 and 16, and we'll look at that, bring that into light, and then we'll see what our brother Paul was having to say there in context there in 2 Timothy 4. So 2 Samuel 23 and verse 16 is the main verse we'd like to look at, but let's back up here and just note how in verse 8 we see David's mighty men. We see these three men in particular that's mentioned. Verse 13, "And three of the 30 chief went down and came to David in the harvest time into the cave of Adullam, and the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in a hold, and a garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David lodged and longed and said, Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. And the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink it, would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord." Verse 17, he says, "Be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore, he would not drink it." These things did these three mighty men. Now we see here a tremendous story of how these ones loved, respected, and served David the king. We realize as David is a great picture of Christ in the Old Testament. This one that in the scripture tells us that David would be considered both son and Lord in connection with Christ because of the fact that Christ is the eternal one, and yet Christ came humanly in the line of David. It's amazing that he is called both his Lord and his son. But in great pictures, we see that this one, David, is a picture of Christ. And here, these men that loved and served him in such a tremendous way was willing to do something that would not seem to be a major thing, but yet it was what their king desired. And he went, these three, they went. And they went to where the height of the battle was, to where one was there in the birthplace of David. If you remember him and Jesse, his father, was from Bethlehem, meaning the house of bread. And they went on the desire of what David wanted. and brought back that water. Isn't that a wonderful picture of how we are servants of the Most High God, and we do according to what He desires to be in His will? The scripture tells us that obedience is better than sacrifice. And to do what the will of God is, and to do what is pleasing to Him, and to glorify Him, should be the chief end of any born-again individual. So here we see the great love that they showed in their actions. They went in a tremendous way to show their love and their respect and honor to David, the king. But you know what David did? He did something that's so wonderful. He poured that water out. He refused to drink it out of his great love for them and his respect for what they did. He said, is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? So when we go back over here to 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we see that Paul said, for I am now ready to be offered, or that is, I am already being poured out. We see there that he's speaking of his life being a drink offering to the Lord. That through his life, he's been, as a Christian, he's been poured out to the Lord. He did that which was the Lord's will, and he poured his life out unto the Lord. David poured that drink out as an offering on behalf of those men that served him. And yet here we are, and we pour ourselves out, we trust, as Paul. We're a drink offering unto the Lord. You know, the scripture tells of different sacrifices that we are involved in, you might say, as believers. We're holy priests. We're offering up the fruit of our lips in praise and that which is acceptable worship to the Lord. We're royal priests, showing forth the praises of Him that called us from darkness into the marvelous light. And then also it speaks in Romans 12 of how we're to present our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. Philippians, it speaks about how what we give materially and substance-wise to the Lord is a sacrifice to the Lord that is honoring to Him. So there's different sacrifices in the Christian life that is tied in with our service and love for the Lord. But let's think of how Paul could say at the end of his life that I am already being poured out. A drink offering to the Lord. Are you and I a drink offering to the Lord? Pouring our lives out for Him. If you remember yesterday we spoke in reference of making full proof of our ministry, that Paul was speaking in context there to Timothy. And there was those ones in Corinth that Paul wrote of that was addicted to the ministry. They were being poured out, I trust, unto the service of the Lord. So we see here this tremendous picture in 2 Samuel, and then what we see in the life of Paul. But notice with me some other references here. In Philippians is one place we could turn to in chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 17. Yea, and if I be poured out or offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. Paul is telling the Philippians there about that very same principle, that he was pouring himself out for the saints in the work of God. Turn with me also back to Acts 20. Remember that time when he called the elders of the gathering at Ephesus, and he called them together, and as he's giving the farewell speech, you might say, he says in verse 24 of Acts 20, but none of these things move on, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I received to the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. but here he is looking to finish his course with joy. That brings us over in 2 Timothy 4:6, as he speaks now in verse 7, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course. Well, he was telling those ones, the leaders, the shepherds there from Ephesus, that he was doing this. He was finishing his course with joy. I have finished my course, he says here to Timothy. I have kept the faith. So if we notice here in 6 and 7, these two verses, notice the three S, speaking of how he would has fought a good fight. That would be the first set. Then he has finished my course, he said. And then thirdly, I have kept the faith. He fought, he finished, and then he kept the faith. Think here of the very next verse of how he speaks of the crowns, at least the one in specific here, the crown of righteousness with the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. He speaks of how it is laid up for him. He says, it's not for me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. So we think of this very crown of righteousness that's being spoken of here. Let's think of the other five or four crowns in addition to this one, the five crowns that is spoken of in the New Testament that is there for the believer, that we might have it in a coming day to cast these crowns back at the feet of the Lord Jesus, the one who is worthy of all praise and honor and worship. Let's look first today, and then, Lord willing, tomorrow we'll look at the other four crowns. But the one crown we have here before us that Paul is speaking of here, the crown that was laid up for me, he says, a crown, a victor's crown of righteousness. Well, when we speak of a victor's crown of righteousness, and then he went on to say that it's to all those that love his appearing, the way to obtain such a crown in connection with loving his appearance is to be in connection with our walk as a believer. Do we have a righteous walk as a believer? Because if we anticipate his coming, yes, we may be doctrinally sound. We know that his coming is something to look toward. But if we love his appearing, that's a different story. Anyone that's doctrinally sound in the faith is looking for his appearing. They know it's going to happen. But if you love his appearing, that means you're not going to be ashamed. You're looking forward. You're walking a righteous life. If you're walking a life to where you might be out of the will of God, you will not be loving his appearing. You might be acknowledging that it's coming, but you won't be loving it. See, if you're in a position to where you would be ashamed of his coming, that's a lot different than loving his appearing, anticipating with joy his appearing, his appearance as he comes to the saints. So we might know that he's coming, but do we have a love for his coming? And it comes by walking righteously as believers. Now, of course, you are righteous in Christ if you're saved. But here it's speaking of your walk. Are you walking righteous in Christ, where you would then be able to say with Paul that you love with great anticipation, you love the appearing of Christ? Isn't this something to think on today? Something to challenge your heart? Do you just know about his coming, or do you love his coming? When we think about the crown of righteousness, you know, we think of how ones today, just as back then, need this challenge to search their hearts to say, well, am I in a position where I would be ashamed if he were to come right now? What am I doing right now? And I'm a believer in Christ, but yet, are the things that are going on in my life things that I would surely be ashamed at if he were to come this very moment for his body, for his church. We'll just close with that challenge today and say if you'd like to write us for any comment or question, write us at P.O. Box 689 in Ramsour, North Carolina. The Two Roads and Two Destinies Radio Ministry. Join us tomorrow as we'd like to look at these other four crowns that are laid up for the believers in heaven that we might one day in return cast them at the feet of the glorious Savior who has paid for our sins when he died on the cross of Calvary. Thank you and join us tomorrow.